So here's the realization I think a lot of people are having, and it's long overdue, but guess what? The mainstream media lies to you. These so-called fair and balanced neutral moderators are also part of the state-run propaganda. And don't expect your government, don't expect your local representatives to tell you the truth either. They've been covering up this Haitian story in Ohio for months. Here's one local resident breaking it down, clip 10.
Well, I am a resident of Springfield, Ohio, and it is not fake news. There is an issue with them that we have in our local park. They literally have ducks down there that the park takes care of, and it's where they live. And they are being killed and eaten. And as far as people's personal pets, I've heard stories, but I can't answer to that personally because I don't know. But I can tell you, because this is the car channel, I do car content, I can approach this story from the car issue. And when I say that, I mean their driving issues. I've witnessed this. They literally, and they have to have a translator wherever they go. They literally have been in the BMV where, like, I go and get my license plate renewed. And it's also where you get your license, obviously. And they literally have a translator, and they show up with a piece of paperwork that grants them driving privileges with no proof that they can actually drive, just that they're of age. It gives them driving privileges for 45 days, and then in 45 days, they can go back and renew it, and they never have to show proof of their how competent of a driver they are. We can't do that. And the accidents that are happening here in this town are crazy stories. And like I said, I've witnessed some of this. So I'm approaching this from a car aspect. They can't drive. I don't know how they are even able to do this legally in this country, but they've hit trees, fire hydrants, people. I mean, there's been fatalities from them not really knowing how to drive. And this is a small town. 20,000 people in this is a poor county. This is not a high-end, wealthy county. And for them to come in and get preference, and I mean preference, and I'll give you one example, and then I'm going to get off here. I have a brother who is disabled, and he's in a low-income apartment complex, and they were building new homes, they're attached to each other. They're not like apartments. They're all single floor because he can't get up and down the stairs, so he has to have a single floor deal with a scooter, a little mobile scooter and stuff. But anyways, he had been on this waiting list for this new housing development for low-income and disabled people. And he checked periodically and see where he's at on the list, because they'll tell you, you know, well, you've got so many people ahead of you, and he pretty much knew where he was on the list, and he was getting close. This last time he called and checked on it, they gave him a number, and he's like, well, that's not where I was before. It looks like I went backwards on the list. Why? Well, I guess the Haitians, for whatever reason, for whatever political umbrella they are here under, got pushed to the front of the line. So now my brother has to wait even longer because of the Haitians. And they're not disabled. They're getting special preference for housing that really should be, I hate to sound bad, but it should be for a U.S. citizen first. And then, like, they can go and move into the apartment complex that my brother's trying to get out of.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric oxide, probiotics, joint relief max, nerve renew, prostate support, collagen, superfood greens, turmeric, ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. And now, your host, Owen Troyer.
Ladies and gentlemen, this guy's crazy. He's got a lawsuit going in the city of New York against the city council censoring him. He was on the ground yesterday calling out 9/11 for being an inside job, false flag. He joins us on the Alex Jones Show now. You know, I wanted to start with your lawsuit and the free speech issue, but you do have the iconic, what used to be, skyline of New York City behind you. You know, this is one of the great things that you've been able to do as well, not just kind of penetrate the political world with your comedy, but you've brought up the 9/11 issue to, I believe it was Eric Trump or maybe it was Laura Trump you brought it up to. You've been able to bring it up on mainstream news interviews that you've done, and then yesterday on the ground. To me, and I said this yesterday on my show, Alex, I think the 9/11 issue is actually the most important issue. I think it's even more important than the Epstein list. And I think if we got the truth about 9/11, it would have the greatest impact, better than even the truth about the Epstein client list. What do you think? You've been pushing this into the mainstream for a couple years now.
Well, Owen, thank you for having me. And yes, you know, the clip I think you're referring to is I asked Laura Trump and I asked my biological stepfather, Tucker Carlson. But the clip that went viral is I asked Vivek Ramaswamy if he believes the government lied about 9/11. And he said, yes, he does believe that. And he referenced the 28 pages redacted from the 9/11 Commission report that we speculate, shows Saudi Arabia's involvement, maybe Israel's. We don't know because the pages are redacted. But my point is, when it comes to 9/11, you are exactly correct. I mean, the Epstein list would be great, but so many people died. And after the Epstein thing, we didn't get the Patriot Act, where now they have warrantless search and seizure of our phone calls, and they can say that we're domestic terrorists, yet they'll let in as many Haitians as they want, eat all of our house cats in Ohio. So I don't know. I do think it's very important, because what this did was this created a domestic surveillance operation and took away a lot of our, Bill of Rights in the process.
Not to mention the multi-trillion-dollar spending that we've had in the Middle East with the military-industrial complex, and for what? It hasn't benefited us at all. It hasn't helped lead to any peace at all. And so here's where I kind of stand, because I was saying this yesterday. My question is, where does the average American stand on this? For me, you know, when I had people try to bring up, let's say, 9/11 conspiracy or truth, however you want to say it, for years, I would just kind of slough it off. I'd say, oh, you're crazy. If any of that was true, the media would tell me, right? I'd hear it on the news, or, you know, the government would tell me, obviously. This was while I was still asleep in a trance, you know, caught up in the sports matrix. And so then once I saw the media was lying and our politicians were lying, for me it was 2012, then it's like, okay, you start to revisit all this stuff and you realize, oh, well, gee, I mean, maybe they did lie about 9/11. They lied about this. So we've been lied to so much in recent years. It's been so obvious. I mean, just look at the recent story with the migrants, the Haitian migrants in Springfield eating the cats, eating the dogs, eating the geese. They said, nope, that's not happening. Well, it is happening. So people are saying, oh, gee, they lied about that. They'll lie about everything. In 2001, it would be unpatriotic, I think, is how people were. They were scared. They didn't want to question 9/11. It would be unpatriotic. They couldn't believe it. It was such a deadly attack, such a devastating attack. Where do you think we're at now? Do you think the average American that probably like me for years would have discounted 9/11 conspiracy theories, truths? Do you think the average American, after realizing how much the media lies, the government lies, do you think they're ready to revisit 9/11? Do you think they're ready to accept we were lied to about that?
Well, it's kind of weird, Owen, because you know this. If you ever bring up Flight 93, most people, the flight that crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, which is kind of weird that Joe Biden, you know, it's not weird that he's there, but he puts on a Trump hat there. That was just, that was insane. But going back to 9/11, even if you ask just a normal person, they'll say, oh, that plane was probably shot down. But sadly, the cognitive dissonance is so strong that the people know the government lies to us. They know that there are different levels of classified information that a normal citizen will never be privy to, yet they still trust the government. So I really and truly, after I did this speech, I had there's a friend of mine. He's 20 years old. He goes to Pace University. He's just a big fan. He's helped me film videos. He was in class. Him and I were going to go film a video after. And I showed him that. And he's born and raised in Manhattan. He's like, why would you say that? 9/11 was so bad. He had no idea, not only of the conspiracy, but he didn't even know the official story that George Bush and Condoleezza Rice were both briefed in August, less than a month before the terror attacks, and warned that, hey, there's this plan to fly planes into buildings. Now, the conspiracy theorist in me thinks, oh, well, they were warned and they just disregarded that, knowing that the plan at the end of the day was going to invade Iraq and make sure the Project for New American Century was signed. So I just, the official story doesn't make sense. So I'm actually worried that young kids don't know. They know the meme, 9/11 was an inside job, but they don't know about Larry Silverstein. They don't know about Tower 7. So sadly, I think just like the Trump assassination that happened just the other day got memory hold, 9/11 is going to get memory hold too, sadly.
You know, you just brought up, I'm pretty sure it's basically mainstream news reports now that Israel had intelligence of 9/11 and just didn't share it with us. And they play this game where they say, oh, well, because of the way Bill Clinton set up the intelligence agencies, they weren't able to share information with them. I mean, give me a break. If you know there's about to be a massive terror attack that's going to kill 3,000 people, you're going to sit here caught up in bureaucratic red tape and not going to stop it? Give me a break. But I'm pretty sure it's mainstream news now even that Israel intelligence stood down on September 11th and had knowledge of the attack. But to me, that's just half the story. Clearly, it was a bomb that hit the Twin Towers. Clearly, there was a controlled demolition aspect on all three of the buildings that went down that day. I mean, you know, people want to have this debate, and it's like, don't believe your own lying eyes. Well, where's the plane in Pennsylvania? Where's the plane that hit the Pentagon? But somehow people can't even come to that truth. They can't even look at the video of the Pentagon. There's clearly no plane, and they can't even deal with that. But you know what it reminds me of? There's the movie, and it's a great movie, but this is kind of what it's like, and I think this is maybe how, you know, some of these corrupt government bureaucracies or deep state agents or, I mean, even secret societies, if you want to say, it's like the Nightcrawler movie where they know something's going to happen. They know something's going to happen, but they let it happen because, well, hey, I'm not involved in it. I'm just here filming it. You know, I'm not involved in it. I'm just here with the plan afterwards to what to do afterwards. So it's like there's definitely a Nightcrawler aspect to this where they at least let things happen because they've got plans afterwards.
Well, you know, it's called problem, reaction, solution. You know, they already have the solution. So, you know, they love when a problem happens. I mean, Hillary Clinton said never let a good disaster go to waste. I mean, I might have misquoted her, but that's basically what she said. So, yeah, no, they like bad stuff to happen. But when it comes to the Pentagon, the most secure building in the world, it had 1,000 cameras pointed at it. They give us 3 frames and you don't even see a plane in that frame. And just the fact that these untrained pilots were able to do maneuvers that even the most skilled pilots say that they couldn't do. These terrorists, some of them had their home address was at one naval base. You know, it's just none of this makes sense. And then on top of that, we all blamed it on Saudi Arabia, but we went and invaded Afghanistan. So, like, this isn't even conspiracy. This is just like, wait, Saudi Arabians did this, according to the official story. Yet we went and fought a war with Afghanistan. So I don't know. I think people just not calling myself smart, but I think people are too stupid to even connect those dots, or they just don't want to connect those dots. It's like a homework assignment they don't want to do. And really, 9/11 should be something that's studied in college classes, and there should be debates about it. But I don't think that'll ever happen. But this is how I know 9/11 is an inside job or conspiracy. Even that pig, Rosie O'Donnell, no disrespect, I'm not that thin myself. She was a 9/11 truther. She was going around talking about how Marvin Bush, George Bush's brother, owned the company that did security in the Twin Towers. She was the one, you know, screaming and crying about it. So if that loony leftist believes it was an inside job, it probably was an inside job. So I don't know. I am losing hope because there's not enough celebrities. Even then, we at least had Charlie Sheen, Rosie O'Donnell, tons of celebrities saying this doesn't sound right. But now it's just kind of forgotten. People have moved on.
Well, and that's why I dedicated a lot of my show yesterday to it. And I'm dedicating a segment with you because it can't be moved on from because we still don't have the truth. And again, I think it's so powerful. I mean, the optics of it. And then the propaganda afterwards, and then the wars, and then the never forget. And it's like all of it. And when you realize that it's all based on a lie, but see, there's a level of it that just shows this is how the propaganda works. I mean, it really shows how powerful the propaganda is where, like you said, it was Judicial Watch that had to file a FOIA request to get one video of the Pentagon that day. And it's a shot right where the wall gets blown up. And I share this on my X account. It's been seen millions of times. And Alex, people watch that video and they say, oh, yeah, there's a plane. And I'm just like, how are you there? What? How is the propaganda so powerful? I guess you tell a lie enough, it becomes the truth. How is the propaganda so powerful that you can sit there and your eyes can see there is no plane, but you say, yeah, that's a plane that hit the building?
Well, it's kind of like David Murr saying, well, we talked to the city manager and they're not eating cats. So people see that on TV and they believe it because most people aren't on Twitter like you and me. And most people aren't searching this stuff out. So if they tell them something on the TV, whether it's David Murr in a debate or it's anybody, you know, talking about 9/11, people just believe it. They say, oh, well, this is a socially acceptable narrative. So this is what I'm going to say. They actually don't think for themselves. They have these thoughts basically implanted through their brain, through brainwashing, like repetition, like you just stated, where they don't even want to know the truth. People don't want to know. People don't want to get into it. And that's where I'm just so frustrated because for me, you and I are about the same age. When I watched those towers go down, that was like a snuff film, watching those people die, people jumping off the, you know, 92nd floor. It was incredibly traumatic. I would argue one of the most traumatic moments in my life, seeing my dad cry for the first time as a young kid. My dad never cried. I never saw him cry. And I remember seeing him crying on 9/11 being like, what the hell? And that was the first time I ever felt really vulnerable. Even though I was only 14 at the time, I still felt very vulnerable. And that's just the sad reality that you and I had to go through that. And now we're 23 years later, where a lot of society is older. They don't care and too young to even be a part of it. So I'm happy that you're going to talk about it. I'm going to continue to talk about it. But until we get like somebody to admit something happened. That's why we need Donald Trump, who said on the day of the attacks that he thought there was bombs there because he saw the explosions in 1993 and that they were able to withstand those explosions. So unless Donald Trump, you know, declassifies all the JFK stuff and declassifies the 9/11 stuff, I don't know how we're going to ever change the narrative because of the mainstream media creating it. And obviously they lie because that's in their best interest.
Well, I do wonder if Donald Trump himself isn't a 9/11 truther. And I mean, I guess part of me kind of like hopes that that's like his deepest, darkest thing. And like that was the most personal thing to him being in New York City, helping building that skyline, knowing friends that worked in that building. I mean, hell, from his own penthouse, he stared at the Twin Towers every day. So part of me kind of hopes like what is the real dark MAGA? Donald Trump still trying to get revenge for 9/11. Like, to me, that's like the real dark MAGA. But I don't know. Maybe that's just wishful thinking. But he did say, we played the interview yesterday, he did say his natural instincts were to say that, yeah, there were bombs that blew up that building. And to me, it's clear. You know, the Ukrainians flew a drone bomb into a Russian skyscraper just a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you saw it. It was last month. It looks the exact same. It literally looks the exact same of the planes going into the Twin Towers. It's clearly a bomb, but that's what's so crazy. It's like, no, don't believe your own lying eyes. The government told me it was the plane. The media told me it was the plane. And so we'll kind of round it back to today. But this is what's crazy, because this shouldn't be a partisan thing. But, okay, you had Bush and Cheney in the White House at the time, right? And then they launched all these wars in the Middle East. That's what got Obama elected, was being anti-Bush-Cheney wars in the Middle East. The liberal left would say that Dick Cheney was one of the biggest war criminals of all time, if not all time. Now he endorses Kamala Harris, and they want to throw him a parade.
That shows you how finicky these people are. Now they love Dick Cheney. You know, everybody jokes about Dick Cheney, how he shot his friend in the face, got us in all these unnecessary wars. And now they're happy that he's supporting Kamala Harris. That just shows you how dumb we are as society and how finicky we are. One day we hate you, the next day we love you. But I guess that's why America's great, because we have short-term memory. I mean, you know, if you just look into going back to 9/11, though, you know, you guys just showed that graphic. We weren't able to find any black boxes, but yet we were able to find two of the terrorist passports. Like, it's just none of this makes sense. And you don't even have to go that deep. You can go just below the surface, like very below the surface. And then all of a sudden you start hearing things and seeing stuff. And just like the video you're showing, the words that they're saying is so crazy. He's saying hit, kite, steal, almost referencing the attack as it's going on. This is one of the most insane. I don't know if you have the audio for this video, but you know this video. You're playing it on your program, but this is one of the most insane. We're talking about not crazy conspiracies, knowing that, you know, they found the passports, you know, knowing that we started a war with Afghanistan and with Saudi Arabia. But now if you want to get into the weird conspiracies about it, David Rockefeller is pictured with, you know, his watch was set to 9/11 when he was taking this picture, talking about them breaking ground on the towers, and that picture is taken in 1967. And then the conspiracy of this, when George Bush is in this classroom and they're saying weird words like hit, plane, steal, kite. Yeah.
Let's read these words the fast way without making a mistake. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Kit.
Yes, kits. And 60 on page 153.
And then the fact that they whisper in his ear and they don't even pull him out of the thing. I mean, that's like, you don't have to cause a panic, but it's like, Mr. President, we gotta take you out here. We may have just had a terror threat. And he stays in the room to finish the book reading? I mean, come on.
And that book is called My Pet Goat. I mean, what the hell? What kind of Illuminati ritual are we doing? They're doing, they love to worship goats. They like Baphomet with the devil's horns. And, you know, this is, we're getting in the woods of the conspiracies, but this is what makes it interesting, because it doesn't make any sense that they wouldn't just rip him out of that classroom. He sits there and reads a book, My Pet Goat. It was almost like he was doing some sort of satanic ritual. And, you know, call me crazy, but I've seen too much stuff to believe that these people aren't sickos that will murder people and kill people just to create trauma-based mind control so that they have more power over their population. I mean, look at the pandemic. 9/11 was terrible. The pandemic was terrible. They don't care. None of these people care. They want to keep doing it. They're looking for their next psychological operation that they can do on the American people. But because they have cell phones now, they can't really fly planes into buildings. And speaking of, this is a pre-planned thing. Operation Northwoods was a declassified CIA plan to hijack planes and to crash them into their own buildings so we could start a war with Cuba. So, I mean, I'm just very, very hopeless sometimes, Owen, with all of this insanity that we live in, and just I don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know what I'm gonna do sometimes. I guess I just try to worry about the things I can control, and I try not to wake too many people up. I know InfoWars has woken me up, and I know I've tried to wake people up, but unless you want to be awake to this, it won't work. You know, the brainwashing is too strong.
Well, that's what I always said. It's something is gonna have to happen. It has to happen organically, right? Like, for me, people trying to come in and, let's say, red pill me, it was going on for years, because really I became a professional broadcaster in 2011. And so you start to meet a bunch of different people. And that's when really some 9/11 truthers and, you know, media's lying to you and stuff tried to get me on that train. Before that, maybe it was just friends and family. But then it's like, once you see it for yourself, for me, it was the media lying. And after the Boston Marathon bombing, the FBI, the CIA lying, the media covering up, it was just like, oh my gosh, this is all a lie. And then it was just like, okay, what else is a lie? Let's go back in time. Let's look at everything. So it has to be something organic. For a lot of people, it was the pandemic. But see, you just hit it. That's such a key aspect, because what's coming next? It's all this psychological warfare, like beating you down. There's the Twin Towers, they've fallen. There's the Twin Towers on fire. There's the plane blowing it up with the bomb. And it's just the powerful optics, and then the propaganda, and then the war on terror. And, oh, these people want to kill you. And they put you in that trauma-based mind control, And then still to this day, you can watch a video. Clearly, there's no Boeing 747 hitting the Pentagon. I mean, the thing doesn't even have enough. The mark in the building isn't even long enough for the wingspan. I mean, you can go on and on for days. And then it's the same thing with the pandemic. Oh, my gosh, look at the shows on TV with all the red numbers going up and the death count and then the people in the hospital beds. And oh, my God. And then they hit you with that trauma-based mind control. And then, boom, they hit you with the vaccine that gives you the heart attack. I mean, so it's like, what's the next psychological operation? But the good news is, once you've broken it, you never go back. You know, it's like being able to read a foreign language or something, or like understand a foreign language. It's like once you get it, it's kind of always there. And so now you can recognize it. Like, you know immediately, oh, I'm not getting that vaccine. So, I mean, it just kind of becomes a learning process. But I would say for you, you say, well, you know, what do I do? For me, I just changed from sports to politics. I feel like for you, you've just kind of like become the insanity. I mean, right? You go to the thing and you dress like a nurse and you do the weird COVID vaccine dance with the hand sanitizer, or, you know, you go out and you do your... So to me, I mean, I look at what you've done and I'm like, well, you've kind of just become the insanity to kind of bring people into your content, and then you kind of bring them along on some of the other stuff.
Well, listen, you're exactly right. I'm like Nightcrawler. I'm trying to do problem, reaction, solution like them, play at their own game. And that's why I try to go create the news, like when I go to these city council meetings. But, you know, this is the next PSYOP that I'm really worried about. And, you know, this is why I say you can't worry about the things you can't control. But, you know, I fly nearly every weekend. I'm about to get on a plane. These Boeing planes, one of them, and I hope I'm wrong, is going to crash soon. They're going to do a plane crash. Why? I guess they want people to not be encouraged to travel. They want to keep us in our homes. But they're going to do something with one of these airlines, and then the airline's going to go out of business. I think that is the next quick psychological operation. Now, there is going to be, and I hope and pray to God this does not happen, an aircraft disaster in the future in order to scare people from traveling. And then they'll create some other psychological operation, a new pandemic or something else will happen. And people will be like, well, I'm done with those airlines. And we'll just stay home and live in their quote unquote 15-minute cities that they basically want us to live in. So I am worried. Like that's why I do get worried, because I fly. I think there's going to be, and I hope I'm wrong, I say this, I keep saying it, I think there's going to be a disaster in the sky soon. There's just too much foreshadowing. Killing the Boeing whistleblower, the guy's wearing a Tommy Bahama shirt, that guy wasn't suicidal. I mean, nobody wears a Tommy Bahama shirt that's suicidal. So, you know, it's very scary, Owen. And my mom got caught up in the pandemic, and I'm always worried that I can get caught up in the next operation that they're trying to run on the American people.
You know, I've kind of had a similar thought, and I think my path to the thought was a little bit different, but the conclusion was the same. They don't want you flying anymore, right? They don't want you traveling the country or the world anymore. They want you to get used to the aspect of a 15-minute city, and then after that, it'll be just in the pod, and they'll just have a little tube that runs the bug meat right to you in the pod. But, you know, you get your Netflix subscription right there on the screen in your pod for you, and that's, you know, that's how you're supposed to be happy. But you're saving the planet from climate change is kind of the ultimate backdrop that they want you to have. Like, oh, I'm a hero, I'm saving the planet, and you're like a frickin' warmed-up corpse living in a pod with bug meat coming through a tube. That's the Noval Harari New World Order agenda, World Economic Agenda. Alex Stein is my guest. I want to ask him about Joe Biden's Trump hat on the other side of this break.
We certainly don't claim to be doctors, but InfoWarsMD can prescribe a wide variety of supplement formulas to help you stay healthy in an ever-growing toxic world. These individually tailored combinations of vitamins, minerals, and natural ingredients address a broad spectrum of bodily functions, and each offers a unique boost to your well-being. Take, for instance, the synthesis of amino acids found in Nitric Boost, designed to promote circulation and muscular performance. Or the microorganisms contained in our probiotic formula, meant to help with digestion by introducing healthy bacteria to your system. Then there's Good Night Sleep and its proprietary sleep formula that can restore a healthy sleep cycle to your daily routine. So ask your doctor, or just take our word for it, and check out the InfoWarsMD products found exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. We were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored. That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce that our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
Networks lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
You want your shot to own this piece of pure Americana, the most powerful, amazing truck in the world today. It's real simple. You go to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. You can enter for free by putting your email, or when you buy great t-shirts or amazing knives and so many other great products that fund the InfoWar, you get entered 5 to 10 times for every purchase. Now, you're getting the colors I like the best, this dark green, this black, the red pinstripe. But what really matters is the shocks, the giant tires, the engine. Folks, I've had a lot of big trucks, but I'm telling you, they don't even compare to this. Be part of this, be part of history, be part of saving the Republic. And believe me, you want this truck. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I'll see you there, and I can't wait to find out who the lucky winner is going to be. I'm telling you, this is better than sex.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones. And now, your host, Owen Schroyer.
And Alex Stein is my guest. We're going to find out what he thinks about Biden's Trump hat. We've got the video. Quickly, though, just because I got a couple messages in the break. You know, there's, well, Owen, what are you talking about with the Boston Marathon bombing? Well, again, you have to understand, I'm not even reaching any conclusions here. I'm caught up in the sports matrix. I'm not in the political world. I don't watch any news. I mean, literally zero. I don't follow current events, nothing. I'm just in the sports world, sports broadcaster. And so it was the first time for me where it's like a sporting event meets, I guess you might say, current events, the Boston Marathon bombing. And then I'm there covering it. And the same energy I bring to politics, I brought to sports. So I'm just obsessing over this thing. And none of it added up. None of it made any sense. So I'm just sitting here watching this, not making any sense. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And it just rewired my whole brain. The reporting on the Boston Marathon bombing in live time was so inconsistent that even Netflix did a documentary on it. Netflix did a documentary on it. That's how bad it was. So I'm just sitting here saying, hey, none of this adds up, so it must be corrupt. Again, I'm not trying to go into a long-winded thing here, but to bring it back to today, I think that this is kind of happening even with this Haitian migrant invasion story, when they say there's nobody eating geese, there's nobody eating cats, and then it's all right there, documented evidence, and they say, oh, gee, well, this is strange. What else are they lying about? So
just responding to some people saying, what do you mean about the Boston Marathon bombing? I'm not telling you what to reach conclusion-wise. I'm just saying the reporting on that was so inconsistent and didn't add up at the time. Even Netflix did a documentary on it that just came out recently. So I just saw that because I'm just somebody with observational discernment. And I'm like, well, okay, what the hell's going on here? This is weird. And, you know, the rest is history, you might say. I'm hosting the Alex Jones Show with Alex Stein. Okay, but we've got the Biden-Trump...
I have to comment on the Boston bombing real quick. You know, there is a bunch of weird stuff with the Boston bombing. We don't need to get that deep. But maybe the great production crew could see where Sarnoff dropped the bomb. I believe it was like 666 Broadway. I forget the name of the street. It's one of the main streets, and it just... so happened to be dropped at the 666 was the address. Very weird. And then the way that they were able to hide in a boat when you had the entire FBI and Boston Police Department chasing them. Obviously, the Boston bombing was real. I'm not saying it was fake, but it just there was a lot of weird conspiracy surrounding it. And I would encourage anybody that is actually interested. That's a rabbit hole that's I think is definitely worth investigating personally.
100%. And I would even say that's probably just more close to a Nightcrawler situation. But yeah, it's funny you mentioned some of the exact stuff that had my ears perked when I was looking into it, like, well, this doesn't make sense, or what are the odds of that? And so again, I mean, even folks, Netflix does a documentary like, hey, this stuff didn't add up. I mean, you know, 10 years later or whatever. But that's how incongruent all the reporting was. And again, anybody with any discernment or observation skills would just say, I'm going to question that. But okay. And maybe we should question what happened with the Biden-Trump hat situation. Now, we've got probably the best video that I've seen yet, HD, pretty decent audio. So let's play this video. I want to get Alex Stein's reaction. And so this is Biden. He actually left the 9/11 memorial event early to go to Pennsylvania. I guess they were supposed to be trying to win over the state for Harris. It goes entirely wrong. The event he goes to is filled with Trump supporters. And then he eventually dons a Trump hat. But here's how that went.
Trump hat, I'll give you my presidential hat. Presidential seal on it.
You going to autograph it?
Oh, sure, I'll autograph it.
Huh?
Yeah.
You remember your name?
I don't remember my name. I'm slow.
You're old fart. You're an old fart.
Yeah, I know, man. I'm an old guy.
And you're an old fart, right?
I know you would know about that.
What?
I'll be an old.
Oh, I know.
All right.
I'm a young timer.
He reminds me of the guys I grew up with. There was always one in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only one.
There you go, man. I need that hat.
Want my autograph?
Hell no.
You know my name. Put it on. Come on.
I ain't going that far.
Yeah. You said you were doing selfie. There you go.
And a round of applause. He puts on the Trump hat with a smile. All right. I've got some interesting takes on this that I haven't seen anywhere else, but I want to get Alex Stein's reaction. And remember, this is after Donald Trump said, by the way, Biden, I want to let you in on a little secret. Hates her, okay? He hates her. So, okay, next day, Biden puts on the Trump hat. Your response, Alex Stein.
Well, that's probably the most humanizing video I've ever seen of Joe Biden. It kind of makes me like Joe Biden. He seems nice. You know, he's affable. He's laughing at himself, calling himself old. So I do like the conspiracy that it's 5D chess and he's really trying to troll Kamala because now she's usurped him while he's still currently president. I'm sure that has him feeling some sort of way. And yeah, I like that conspiracy, but really and truly, I don't know. Maybe he put it on. I don't know. Now I'm really thinking in my head. I'm like, why would he put it on? Why would he put it on? And I find him too incapable to be doing 5D chess. I just think he just kind of instinctually, impulsively did it. But you really do think that that was a troll, Owen? You think that he was doing it to try to throw shade on Kamala? I love that theory.
No, actually, that's not my theory. But my theory actually kind of agrees with what you said first. I think Biden is done. I think after the Harris coup, Biden just said, all right, I'm done. I don't care anymore. He's done being the commander in chief. And so and that's why I think in this video, you kind of said it humanizes the most. And let me be clear. This guy is still a corrupt scumbag. OK, this guy and his crooked family still sold the country out. So it's not that I'm forgetting or forgiving that. I'm just responding to this video here. And it was the most humanizing. So I think Biden has just given up being the commander in chief. And the irony of it is that this is actually the best Biden that we've seen yet. I mean, it really is. He's hanging out with Trump supporters. He's jovial. He's joking. He's smiling. He puts on the Trump hat. He gets a good laugh. Later on, he did a picture with those kids. He managed not to sniff any of them. And he did a picture with the kids. They all have Trump shirts on. So he's literally in a picture with like 30 kids with all the different Trump gear that they have. So, I mean, he basically went to a Trump event. And he was supposed to be campaigning for Harris, and then he puts on the Trump hat. So to me, Biden's just given up being commander-in-chief. He's done with the politics of it. You know, they'll tell him to go here or go there, and maybe he has to go do a speech here or a speech there. He's basically doing the bare minimum. The irony is, the country is much better off with this Joe Biden. The country is much better off with Joe Biden not governing, not getting involved in policy, not getting involved in politics, but just coming off as a normal guy. And hey, I can go hang out with a Trump supporter. And hey, I can go get along with Trump supporters and take a picture. It's okay. These are normal Americans too. They're good people. So in an ironic twist, it's like, yeah, this is the best Biden for the country, is him literally in a Trump hat.
Well, I do agree with you. But, you know, the real conspiracy on why Joe Biden stepped down, this is what people don't realize, is once Joe Biden got diagnosed with COVID and he realized he couldn't smell any more children, he figured, what's the point? You know, he said, forget about it. I'm going to hang him up. No, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. He's checked out. It's like senior year of high school or senior year of college. You just kind of checked out. He's just kind of enjoying the ride. And what's really weird in this video, his staffer looks like he's about 20 years old. I don't know if that's Secret Service or what. But, yeah, I mean, he's totally checked out. And that's probably what's best for our country is not having a leader. What's better than having a corrupt leader is having no leader at all. So it just shows you, I do think this is the best thing for our country. But Owen, I don't want to sit here and sell fear, but I think Donald Trump is going to have a really tough time in this upcoming election, not because he's unpopular, but because people have just forgotten that Kamala Harris has been the vice president for 3 years. They've forgotten that she's basically in charge of our border. None of these people remember anything. It's like we're dealing with mice. I mean, they have no long-term memory, and she's responsible for all the stuff she's saying that she's going to fix. She could be fixing it right now. And the fact that people are just, I guess, ignorant to that fact that she's the vice president, it really makes me very worried for the upcoming election, because I do think that they're not only going to cheat and fortify it, but hell, people might actually vote for just because they want an Indonesian black woman as president.
Well, we're dealing with lemmings, essentially, and they would run off the cliff into a wood chipper if the media told them to. And this is why I get so upset with this bullcrap of, oh, go vote, register to vote, everybody vote. No, no. If you're a no information, low IQ voter, do not vote. You're an idiot. You should not be voting. I don't buy into this. Everybody should vote. No, no, no. If you don't know the three branches of government, if you can't pass a basic civics test, if you don't realize Kamala Harris has been the vice president for the last 4 years and she's running against herself on the campaign trail, then no, stay home. You should not vote. No, don't go register to vote, please. Please, if you haven't registered to vote, if you haven't taken the action to go register to vote on your own accord because you want to be politically informed and active, then do not register to vote and do not vote. Please. I'm sick of these Taylor Swift voter drives to get out ignorant voters that say Kamala is brat, because that really is exactly what we're dealing with. And I guess, you know, it's the disconnect maybe that they really just see it as, hey, look, Kamala Harris is trendy and hip and she's a non-white woman. Well, okay, so but what about her policies? It's like they don't even connect the two. Like you could sit here and they'd say, yeah, gee, the economy's been much worse in the last 4 years and we've had a lot more problems in the last 4 years, but I can't wait to vote for Kamala Harris. It's like they don't even make the connection. There's like this just complete disconnect. And really, honestly, at the end of the day, liberalism is a mental disorder. Well, what is the diagnosis? What is the mental disorder? They don't understand action-reaction. They don't understand choice-consequence. That is the mental disorder. That is the mental disorder of liberalism.
And you know what I'm a little frustrated about is you know, not only did she lie, but you have Kamala Harris saying that she owns a gun and Tim Walz owns a gun and they love guns when they've both been on the record saying they want to get rid of assault weapons and they probably want to get rid of more than just that. So what I would have liked to have seen, though, from Trump, and maybe he should do this, and I'm not a campaign expert, but like she lies and tries to pretend to be conservative, he needs to say, and this was true under when he was president, we did have good social services. He gave everybody $1,200. I mean, I know that's not necessarily a conservative value, but I think that would resonate with the American people and saying, listen, I gave y'all $1,200 when I was president. These people are, I keep saying people are dumb, but that would work. Like, that's what I'm frustrated about is that, oh, you guys want free stuff? I'm going to give you better free stuff. And I know that's maybe sounds ingenuine, but if you look at the record and you look at how much Trump bailed out the American people, much more than Joe Biden or Kamala Harris ever have. Gas prices were incredibly cheap. He needs to talk about how Americans are going to have a better life, not necessarily all the trans stuff, even though it's important, all the Haitian stuff. We should be talking about all this. But you almost have to, like, give people sugar to help their medicine go down. Say, you guys might get some more free stuff. We might lower health care. You know, we might give you another $1,200 check because it stimulated the economy. I don't know. But if she can pretend to be a gun advocate, Kamala Harris can pretend to be a gun advocate, I think Donald Trump should, I guess, try to garner some of the social service support from his social service resume of giving us, you know, free money. Was it good for the country? I don't know. I mean, that's we'll see. Inflation's crazy right now. But I know that would resonate to the low information voter. And they would say, oh, I get free stuff. I'll vote for Trump. It's like I made a website. You type in illegals for Trump. Now, this is obviously a satire website, but that's what we should be doing. Trump should be getting the illegals. Trump should be saying, I'm going to hire you to build crap. Like, we have to play their game. I don't know if Trump's doing that. And that's why I'm really also frustrated on this campaign trail. Not that Trump's running a bad campaign, but he's got to use some of their rules for radicals, some of their game plan. He needs to use like they're using his.
All right, mark it down. Alex Stein just made a Mary Poppins reference talking politics on the Alex Jones Show. Wow. I mean, that takes nuance and skill. I am impressed. Now, the issue with Trump pandering, because, you know, I think look at the abortion issue as maybe an example of this where, to me, I think he's pandering to the left with the abortion issue. Now, I don't know where Trump really stands on the abortion issue. And the point he made during the debate, I think, is the most important point. Hey, you can ask me about my stance on abortion all day long. It doesn't matter. The policy does not come from the White House. The policy is at the state level. You keep asking us like it matters. It doesn't matter what I think about abortion. It's at the state. The states will decide. The voters in the states will decide. So, you know, but it's always, you know, abortion is the football that the Democrats need to keep on the field because it's what drives people to the ballot every year. By the way, that's why the Democrats, and they're having victories on this issue, unfortunately, that's why the Democrats are trying to get abortion back on the ballot in as many states as possible. Even if it's like some sort of a weird thing where it's like you're not actually voting on abortion, but like you're voting on, is it like 6 weeks or 8 weeks or can we get it on the ballot next? Whatever ballot measure they can get abortion on the ballot with, the Democrats are fighting to get it on the ballot because they know that's their number one voter drive is abortion. That's their number one thing. But back to the issue with Trump pandering. So he tries to pander to the left with some of this stuff. And the problem with the right wing is not all the right wing, but, you know, look at the abortion hardliners. They started bringing the long knives out against Trump. They started campaigning against Donald Trump. Now, I was sitting here saying, first of all, I'm not a political purist. It's a cancer to any political movement. Second of all, if you don't see what Trump is doing, then you're missing the bigger picture. If you think the Democrats are going to be better on abortion than Trump, then I don't know what to tell you. But I think that's the problem. If Trump tries to pander to the left or kind of play these political games, you've got the hard right that just comes after him and pulls the long knives out. So it's like he can't even do it. The right wing is way too purist and consistent and actually follow stuff for him to even do it.
Well, Owen, you have a very good point, but that's abortion. And people will say that abortion is one of their most important issues, even more important than the economy. And I'm very pro-life. I don't want any babies to die. But they use that to distract us. So, yeah, I actually, you know, Trump could, I think, maybe even be a little more vague on his stance on abortion, if that would help him. But forget about the thing about abortion. It's a huge issue. But I'm talking about money. I'm talking about like stuff people want to hear. So, you know, very few people, and even though it is such an important thing, but not everybody has an abortion. Like, we talk about abortion, like everybody's just having them, everybody. I know people that have had abortions.
Oh, it's like 1%. It's like 1% or less.
That's what I'm saying. But yet the economy affects all of us. Yeah, I mean, it just sucks that the Democrats are able to weaponize abortion to rally their base to go vote to kill babies. It makes me sick, but that's where we're at. So I don't know necessarily how much you should pander with him. I do think that he had a good statement saying it is states' rights, and he obviously put in Supreme Court justices that, you know, got rid of Roe versus Wade. So his resume is better than any president of the last 50 years, yet all these hardline conservatives, it's not enough. They'd rather have Kamala Harris so she can abort more babies. Like, that's how dumb we are, you know? It's just we want to shoot our own people. But a lot of those abortion people, if you really look at their Twitter accounts, they're all DeSantis people, never Trumpers. And, you know, listen, Trump's not perfect. I have my criticisms of Trump. I'm sure you have criticisms of Trump. That's what we're supposed to do as you know, American citizens. But he's still the much better candidate than Kamala Harris, who wants to turn your daughter into a boy by cutting off her breast when she's 15 years old. So,
or Tampon Tim, who wants to put a tampon in your kid's butt. I mean, I'm just curious if anyone's going to ask where Tampon Tim would put it. You know, maybe he's taught kids on the football team where to put them. I don't know.
That's where we're at. Tampons are in the boys' restroom. I mean, give me a break, dude. And that's why it's like these are important issues. Abortions are obviously important, but should it be the most important issue affecting everyday Americans? I don't think so. I think more people fill up their gas tank than have an abortion. Yeah. I think more people are trying to buy a house when they can't afford one because all the banks and companies own these houses. Like when our parents were growing up, they still had it tough, but they were able to afford a home, Owen. Now, my friends in their 30s, none of them. I mean, you know, I have some friends that are wealthy, but a lot of my friends are still paying rent. And if they do buy a house, it's a junky house. Like, it just sucks. These are things that you could fix. The government could fix this, but instead they want to subsidize these social services to illegal immigrants. So if I was Trump, I would start talking more about giving free stuff to American citizens and taking that free stuff from illegal aliens that are currently gaming the system and getting free hotel rooms in New York that I was just there. And for me to stay at the Hampton Inn, $329, because one out of every five hotel in Manhattan is now considered a migrant shelter, raising the price for Johnny Primetime, Alex Stein, trying to stay one night in Manhattan. It's insane. These are problems we could fix. If you're going to subsidize something, subsidize the American people that were born here, that love this country. But that's not where we're at. So I don't know. I do think Trump needs to kind of lean on that $1,200. I know that would resonate with the African-American community because that's what they – when I asked them on the street, they're like, man, I want that $1,200.
Yeah, they talk about the stimmies.
That's what I'm saying. Trump should be like, I stimulated the economy. Because they always talk about pandemic. I did go to the vaccine. Trump, stop talking about the vaccine. The vaccine's not good. There's another guy, an ultra marathoner, 29 years old, just had a cardiac arrest. I believe New York Post shared that today. There's too many marathoners, too many professional athletes get going and having cardiac issues. So, yeah, we need to stop talking about the vaccine and start talking about those $1,200 checks. I don't care if that pisses off some conservatives. As a matter of fact, you'd be surprised how many conservatives are struggling and could use $1,200 because of Biden's economy that he's created. Oh, so,
well, yeah,
that would resonate with people.
The Bidenomics has increased the cost of living about $5,500 a year on average for the average American. You know, here's what I see the problem with Republicans is they just don't understand narrative control, or they just don't want to engage in it. I don't know. And there's different scales. Like if you go out and do one of your bits at a city council or when I would go out and do man on the streets interviews and, you know, own the libs or, you know, destroy the Trump protesters, whatever. Like that's us engaging in like small level narrative control. Like I know what that guy's going to say. I know what to say to get him to say what I want him to say. And then I know what I'm going to say in response to that. Or you go out, you do your video, like you know what you're going to say. You know what the response to what you're going to say is. And then you know what kind of the background is where it's like, yeah, I did a comedy bit, but actually, look, this is a real thing. So that's like small level narrative control that you or I do. When I look at Trump, I'm saying, Trump, talk about taxes. I would come out if I'm Donald Trump and I would say, you know what? We're going to cut all taxes. How about that? Zero taxes. You want to talk taxes? How about zero taxes? And then what's the response going to be? Oh, my gosh, Trump's going to kill the government with all the taxes. What are we going to do? And then the response is, good. The government sucks. Nobody likes the government. So it's like that's large-scale narrative control. And Trump is kind of good at it, I think, organically, just because he kind of pops off, like with the dogs and cats getting eaten in Springfield, Ohio. But it's like, no, you can control these narratives by just saying something, getting their response, and then bringing the winning argument home.
I agree 100%. I mean, it sounds bad that we're kind of encouraging a bait and switch, but that should be his narrative. And it's not that he's lying. It's just saying that this is my plan. A plan is not a lie. This is what I plan to do. So he should say this stuff that's actually going to help American citizens. And why do people not want to look into conspiracies? Why do people not want to know the truth? It's because they're working a 9-to-5 job and they got kids or they got a girlfriend or they got a husband or they got a wife and they got to pay their bills and people are struggling to pay their bills. So they don't have time to go to Infowars.com. They don't have time to go to The Blaze. They just don't have time. So all they can do is watch TV in between their work and their bedtime. So, you know, it's just sad. I think if people were doing better financially, a country would be doing much better. And you look at the oil and gas industry here in Texas, it was booming. It was booming. All these Texas.
It was huge. It was huge.
And now it's just basically dead. They can't
and these are starting salaries, you know, $75,000 a year starting salary.
Yeah, for no education. You don't even have to go to college. You can go be a roughneck. And there's roughnecks driving Lamborghinis in Midland, Texas because they're doing so well. And we have enough oil and gas. That's another conspiracy. Don't even get me started. You know, we don't have time to argue. But yeah, that all oil and gas is petroleum, is old dinosaur bones. Yeah, right. I believe gas is renewable energy. I'm just saying there's something.
I have a conspiracy theory. You know, we make fake diamonds now. I think maybe we can. Maybe someday we can even make oil and gas and just whatever the process the earth has of making it, just like with diamonds, we can maybe just create it ourselves.
I believe so. And in oil and gas, it's funny, all these Teslas, they're always getting caught using a gas generator at the Tesla charging station. It's so stupid.
Where does the energy come from? Yeah. Hey, by the way, you got Alex Jones on your show tonight. Is that right?
That is correct. I'm actually about to go down. He was on Glenn's show. We're wrapping up here. I'm about to go down there. I don't know. He's probably going to get mad. I ordered like 10 Domino's pizzas. I didn't know what to get. I should have ordered something nicer, but, you know, I'm on a tight budget here. Does he like pizza?
I'm sure he'll eat whatever you feed to him, and it should be fine, yes.
Well, I ordered pizza, and then Chase said he doesn't like tomatoes, and I'm like, oh, gosh. Now he's going to not eat tomatoes on his pizza. Now, I mean, now there's tomatoes on the pizza, but he won't have the tomato sauce from the pizza. It's just, I'm stressed. I'm excited to talk to Alex. I've obviously talked to him in person multiple times.
Alex Jones is going to be on the blimp with the pimp.
And I don't want to give too much of a surprise, but there are going to be a lot of gay frogs involved in tonight's episode.
I knew you had something up your sleeve. I knew it. It's probably a gay frog or two and other stuff. The Alex Stein Show tonight. Where can people watch it?
Well, I think it's actually we're going to wait until Tuesday, I think, to play it. But
it airs next week. All right, folks. Alex Stein, thank you.
Obviously, silver's doing way better than gold in growth, and it's way undervalued. That's a fact. Why then are the central banks mainly hoarding gold?
Well, because there's simply not enough silver. Right? It's like if you've got central banks that start allocating into silver when it's $30 an ounce and they want to have it be part of their reserves, it's like, okay, there's not enough silver in the world to do that. Right? So they have to do gold because it's $2,400 an ounce, not $30 an ounce. Right? So this is why
they've
central
got
banks
so many quadrillions
gold.
Of fake money. There's too much fiat to even buy the silver. Which I would say then means silver still will always be the thing that grows the most.
Oh, so silver, historically, the numbers prove out that when gold is in a bull market, which it is, we're near all-time highs, silver does better than gold. So silver grows faster. And there's a reason why. Silver and gold both act as barometers to government distrust, right? It's the worse things get, the better financial metals do. They're a flight for safety. But what silver has that gold doesn't is it's a manufacturing metal. It's used in industry. So in aerospace, in defense, in electronics, in solar power, electric vehicles, all of that. The demand for silver is through the roof, Alex, and we're just taking advantage of that. And imagine what silver will do with Trump being president, somebody who actually grows the economy rather than having a stagnant economy. The industrial need for silver is absolutely going to explode.
Now you're right. Silver is the closest thing to a silver bullet. That's why they call it a silver bullet. People should go to kpm.com/gold right now and get silver now. We'll be right back.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones.